Let's begin with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this evening we come before you. We want to worship you, Lord, as we open your word and sing you praises, that we could learn from you, that we could be encouraged and uplifted this evening. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So I just wanted to read a passage from Romans chapter 12. Reading through Romans and came across chapter 12 here, and just a few thoughts that stood out to me, and I wanted to share them. One thing I heard from someone recently also that made me think here was someone that was normally very optimistic said, you know, by human nature, we are not optimistic people. It's not a natural thing to be optimistic. So I was thinking about that, and that we have to work against just in the sense of something of being optimistic about life. To be that way, we have to work against what is natural. So I was thinking along that line, what other things do we have to work against that are not natural, that just naturally happen? So Romans chapter 12 here, I just want to read to the end of the chapter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another members. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is good, evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I was thinking along the line here of what is a living sacrifice, and what does it have to do with the rest of this passage? So I was, what would you say? A living sacrifice is something we have to give that is little. It's painful to give. There is definitely a cost. It doesn't come freely. But it says that by the mercies of God, and I think that is the answer, because it's what we have to, it's the reason we have to give this sacrifice. present your bodies a living, holy, acceptable unto God. The sermon this morning really spoke to me as well when William talked about that being perfect in Christ is being forgiven and walking with a forgiven heart towards Him. Okay, so then go down to the verse 3. Well, I didn't want to miss verse 2. That's packed full as well, but I wasn't going to focus on that. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we'd say that the mind begins most of the battle that we face as Christians is in the mind. And it would not be a natural thing to work against what our mind wants to, where it wants to go. We have to actually renew our minds and work against what would come naturally. And in doing so, we can prove what is the perfect will of God in that. So then, as we look at these different gifts that come out here, he starts that, first of all, with saying that we should work against another natural tendency, and that is to think more highly of ourselves than what we ought to think. That would be a natural thing that I think we would all probably not have to... In other words, most people think fairly well of themselves. I know that I feel well of... When I look at something, I can often think I could do that better. That's the human nature way of looking at things. So he says to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. So then as he goes on to the members of the body, so as the body of Christ is all the members work together and thinking along that line, I was thinking of, an athlete or an artist. If you watch that, it's a marvel to see how, you have different parts working together. It's not one, if it's, an artist, it's not just the eyes doing it, but without the eyes, it would be very difficult to be an artist. Not impossible, maybe. But then you have the coordination working, and if any part of that would say, I'm not going to have any part of this project, it would not happen. And you take an athlete, for them to be so coordinated, every part has to agree, work together to make this happen. So if I would be one part of the member that would say, I'm not having to do with this, because and this is also in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to, that would be another great passage to read. But I wanted to just read from here. But it says, if the hand would say to another part, because I'm not the feet or whatever, however it says there, that I'm not going to be a part of this. Then you have the hand that's very valuable and very effective in serving. But if it can't get to its project by the feet, then it's not going to get anything done. So it's working; it's all the parts working together, I guess, is what I was thinking about there. So then, this sacrifice that here that we are presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, and that was in these gifts. Now it could be that some people just freely want to share their gift with others. But I know for myself and for most people I know, usually the gift they have to serve in a church, it's difficult to use that. It's a sacrifice. Something that most people don't know. Leading songs is not something that I just am thrilled about. But it's something that I guess I would say by the mercies of God, you know. And it's something that I can serve the church. And, you know, part of leading songs is actually, I believe, exhortation. You could actually say it's encouraging to see someone get up and lead songs, because they're leading the body in worship and the songs they choose and so on. So it's something, but most gifts are something that you often feel shy about sharing, I believe. And I think maybe especially conservative people do this more, where we're more bashful to share our gifts that God has enabled us. Now, what I am saying as gifts, I would look at as, you know, people have natural talents and abilities. And I'm not saying that it isn't those, but I would say from this, when it says gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, that it is God-enabled abilities. These things that we would be doing, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. On ministry, let us wait on, and that would be serving. On teaching, you know, use your gift in teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. And you go all the way through this list here, but it's doing these things with zeal. If we skip down here to verse 11, it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So it's doing these things fervently. Anyways, I will shorten this up because I'm not giving a topic, but I wanted to just some things that stood out to me here. And it's the practical part of the end of this chapter here, maybe of how we would serve others with these gifts, beginning at verse 9, and it's the love part. Let love be without dissimulation. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Not something that would be by a natural human quality. We'd have to work at that. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And these things would be, again, things against nature, but that build up the church. And they're, we have to do them sacrificially. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, live at peace or harmony with everyone. And in the very end of the chapter, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on your head, on his head. And then the final part that I'll leave you with, overcoming, that in all of this, we are overcoming evil. Sometimes I feel like, and I know that the church can feel like that, that we're just being overrun by evil everywhere around us. But it says that we can overcome this evil, and we overcome it with good. That's all I have. Thank you.